the fellas there and some of these other guys. A whole bunch of them with these names that are unpronounceable. In verse 5 it says, "And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord and gave the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground." And then a bunch of them other fellows all did their thing. In verse 8 it says, "So they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading." Our Father, I want to thank you so much for allowing us to be here. I want to thank you for the sermons we've already heard. And Lord, the music and the singing has all been good. Thank you for those that came forward and that one that was saved. And I pray now we'll be able to just say a few words. What you can say after what's been said is unknown to me, but I pray we'll just be able to say a few words to find a lodging place in folks' hearts, and then we go home tonight and rejoicing for what things the Lord hath done for us. Thank you again in Jesus' name. He's worthy. Amen and amen. I guess for a text, I would use verse number 4. And verse number 4, it says, "And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood." And I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about the pulpit. I'm not talking about this piece of wood here, but I'm talking about the pulpit in the sense of preaching. You know, we hear a lot lately from Washington, and we've heard from Russia, and we hear from China, but we need to hear from heaven. And the pulpit has been used for a whole lot of things, especially here of late. There are those that use it for earthly prosperity and those that use it for executive privilege, I guess, as it were. Some use it for ecclesiastical prominence. Others use it for the entertainment of the pews, and still others even use it to kind of even up the score with folks. But we need to hear from heaven. And the waves of God's wrath, I assure you, are beating hard against the dam of His mercy. And I want to talk to you just a little bit about the pulpit. I want to talk, first of all, about the purpose of the pulpit. Now, I said in verse 4 that they stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. Now, when you come down to preaching, what is the purpose of preaching? What are we trying to accomplish by preaching? You can turn on the radio or other things and go to different churches. Modernists, they preach, or call it that anyway. And even Catholics nowadays preach a little bit. New Evangelicals preach, Neo-Orthodox preach, Dead Orthodox preach. Even a few fundamentalists will preach once in a while. But what are we trying to accomplish? What's the purpose of preaching? Well, I tell you what part of the purpose, what is not. Preaching is not designed to make you worship God. Now, I don't believe you're going to do much worshiping of God if you don't have some old-fashioned, straightforward, right across the plate where you can get at it type preaching. But it's not designed for that particular purpose. Preaching is not designed to make you feel good. Although I must confess, I never feel better than after I've been in a service where the preaching is not designed to make you feel good. Although I must confess, I never feel better than after I've been in a service where the Word of God has been preached, as our brother Lackey did it, and it blessed my heart. First time I ever heard him over 20 years ago, and fell in love with the man of God, and fell in love with it. He said, "Well, that's hard preaching. We need more of it in our country. We need more of it." The very fact of the matter that some folks think that that's such hard type preaching and so crude is a very evident of the fact that we don't have much hard preaching going on anymore. But what's the purpose of preaching? Well, the main purpose of preaching, not to make you feel good, not to make you look good, not to make you worship God, well, it'll do all of those things. The main purpose of preaching is to bring men and women, boys and girls, back to truth and reality. You see, we're lied to all the time, and in every form and every fashion. Now, the devil's crowd thinks that us Christians, that we live in a fairy tale world. They'll tell you that real quick. But those that live in a fairy tale world is that lost and dying world out there. The devil has went about to create for them a fairy tale land where they can live and prosper and then one day die and go to hell. The sad fact is there are many of God's people that have slipped over into fairy tale land and are living with those folks, and that they need to be brought back to reality. We've been lied to on every hand, through the media, through our society, billboards, every place you look. The only place I know of you can get truth, unadulterated truth, the truth and nothing but the truth, is out of this old blessed book I have right here in front of me. And preaching is designed to bring people back to truth and reality. And you say, about what, man? You lied to about everything. You name it. Go right on down the line. Lied to about alcohol. You lied to about tobacco. You lied to about sex. You lied to about drugs. You lied to about queers. You lied to about the Pope. You lied to about heaven. You lied to about hell. Lied to about everything under the sun. And the preacher's job is to bring people back to truth and to reality. That's why sometimes the preacher's job is not all that hot. Amen. That's why sometimes he incurs the wrath of some people. Preaching was designed in the Bible to bring people back to the point of remorse, being sorry about their low-down sins and their condition, to produce in them remorse, to produce in them repentance, and to produce in them old-fashioned restitution. And those seem to be lost arts in our day and time. But preaching is designed to bring people back to truth and to reality. We live in this world, we're walking in this world anyway, and two, three times a day, it's good to come to church and get yourself cleaned up good, and hear the truth preached, and hear the fairy tale end debunked for what it is, and just preach the truth of the Word of God. And those folks out there, the lost, they're living in a fairy tale land, and the preacher's job is to wake folk up and to shake folk up and to scare folk if he possibly can, and to wake them up to the reality of the truth of the Word of God. That's why preaching, by its very nature, it's combative, it's corrective, it's convicting. Preaching that's not combative, confrontational, convicting, and corrective is not real Bible preaching. And really, when you come down to it, preaching has an element of brainwashing in it. Had a fellow one time come to hear me preach, and after the service he said, you know, he said, I know what you're doing or what you're trying to do. He says, you're trying to brainwash those people. Yeah. I said, well, there's nothing wrong with that as long as you're good, clean water, amen. Yeah. Some folks, your brain would bear some washing, amen. And I got to thinking about it, and there's probably some truth in that. And matter of fact, one of the greatest organizations in America for brainwashing is the United States military. And I got to thinking about when I was in the military. They, in their brainwashing process, I noticed one thing there, that I never got talked to in a normal tone of voice. Never. If you're going to brainwash folk, you don't talk to them in a normal voice. You don't do it that way. And it's a constant thing. They're always working on it all the time. I'm going to give you a real quick elementary lesson in military brainwashing. I went to a school. They called it a school, and they had it for these sailors. I was in the Navy, and we didn't know a whole lot about stuff, so they sent us over to this place called Jungle Warfare School, and it was run by the Marine Corps, which is just a department of the Navy. Marines don't like to admit that, but that's all they are, just a Navy, you know, that department of the Navy. I can't help it, fellas, you know, don't blame me. I mean, blame the Admiral, amen, he was the boss. But they get you in there, and they start right from word number one. And it's a constant thing. And it doesn't matter whether you're going to eat, doesn't matter if you're going to go to bed, doesn't matter if you're going to go take a shower. They're always working on brainwashing. They've got just a certain amount of time, just a minimal amount of time. They've got to take somebody from a civilian setting and take them in just a very restricted amount of time to turn them into a military soldier, to turn them into a machine, to turn them into something that'll do the job that they need to do. And so they work on it. Matter of fact, and where they really work on, they get you out there. I saw one time, went to a graduation, and all these little grandmas and everybody sitting up there watching the little soldiers all march by, and they were all doing it so good. And I heard one little lady, she said, you know, said they sure do that real good, but I don't understand why it take them 10 weeks to teach them how to walk that way. I mean, the boy went off and he's gone for 10 weeks, but what grandma don't understand, that ain't all they taught him in 10 weeks. That's just a minor part of it. I mean, they get you in, they begin to brainwash you. They've only got a little bit of time to do it, so they monopolize your time, and they do a good job of it. As a matter of fact, when you're out, they do this when you're running. They utilize every bit of the time. And you get out running, and if you can visualize just for a moment, about 65 men, all of them running at the same pace, all of them in rank and file, and they're running, and you're double timing. And I guess it would be, if you count it out, it would be probably like this. About that fast. And you've been going about 2 miles. Feels like there's an alligator inside your stomach eating his way out over here. and salt running down from your sweat into your eyes, and your throat's beginning to burn. And you know you ain't but about halfway done. And you get out there and you're running. And while you're running, there's this crazy fella, this crazy guy, and they all got to be crazy. These guys, I don't know where they get them from, but they're crazy. And they get them out there, and they begin to call cadence, and everybody does it in order. They want you to help me. Now, if I was the instructor, we'd be running along. Now just try to picture that. Put yourself there. Some of you military guys got to help me out on this. But you'd be running along, and the instructor, and I remember you're going about this speed right here, and the instructor would call, left, right, left, and then everybody in the column calls out right after him, just like he did, same way, same inflection, and everybody'd say, left, right, left, and then you know you go on. Now, and when I say that, I don't want you to stand up, but just in your best military form and fashion you can muster up, you ladies help us if you can, you say whatever I say, you say it just like I say it. All right, now here we go. Now, we're out there, and we're running, and we're going to start. Left, right, left. Left, right, left.
Left, right, left.
Left, right, left.
Left, right, left.
Left, right, left.
Left, right, left.
Here we go.
Here we go.
All the way.
All the way.
Up the hill.
Up the hill.
Down the hill.
Down the hill.
Left, right, left.
Left, right, left.
Hoorah.
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 I can do it.
I can do it.
You can do it.
You can do it.
Up the hill.
Up the hill.
Down the hill.
Down the hill.
Blood.
Blood.
Sweat.
Pain.
Pain. In my side.
Feels
so good. All the way.
All the way.
I knew a girl down in New Orleans. Don't worry, fellas, I'm going to clean up now. She had 14 children and a can of beans. Oh, she was motivated.
She was dedicated.
Here we go.
Come on
now, wait a minute. You're not doing this right now. You're lagging here. You'd be running from now to Jesus got back. Amen. You got to keep it going. All right, now we're going to try one more time. Here we go. That's better. That's good. You're getting a hold of that thing. Amen. All right, now here we go. Now, this is the hard part. We're going to... No, I don't get, brother. Wait just a minute now. Here, now we're starting now, okay? Live, right, live.
Live, right, live.
Live, right, right, live.
Live, right, live.
Live, right, live.
Left
or right or
left.
I'm gonna run to the top of the hill.
I'm gonna run to the top of the hill.
I'm gonna find me a Russian and make a kill.
I'm gonna find me a Russian and make a kill.
I'm gonna cut his throat from ear to ear.
I'm gonna cut his throat from ear to ear.
Just so that they know that we've been here.
Just so that they know that we've been here.
Singing left or right or left. Left, right,
left.
Here we go. All the way. Grab your rifles, follow me.
Grab your rifles, follow me.
I'm an old three grunt, you see.
I'm an old three grunt, you see.
If I die in a combat zone,
if I die in a combat zone,
they're gonna wrap me up and send me home. Sing left, right, or live.
Left, right,
or live. Napalm, napalm sticks like glue.
Napalm, napalm sticks like glue.
It kills everybody and their mamas too.
Everybody and the mamas too.
We're gonna drop it on the cities, gonna drop it on the towns.
We're gonna
burn everything right to the ground. Sing, live, right, or live. All right, now you get the idea. Now you imagine doing that every morning, over and over, over and over. And when you get done and you come out, I mean, brother, you're ready to turn over rocks and look for Russians and cut their ears off, amen? And it's a form of brainwashing. And brainwashing, listen, folks, it comes to God's business. Folks need to stay in that book. You need to get your brain washed out with some of this book, amen? And good old-fashioned. Good old-fashioned, hard, straightforward preaching. They ain't never hurt anybody, but glory to God, it's helped a whole lot of folks, amen? Preaching. The purpose of preaching. That's fun, brother. I enjoyed that, man. We could keep that going. I just thought of a couple others that went through my head there, you know? But preaching. And then notice as we look not only at the purpose of preaching. Glory to God, 20 minutes went by fast. I got to hurry up here. You see the purpose of preaching. Then we see the preeminence of preaching. The preeminence of preaching. Now look up there in verse number 5. In verse number 5, it says Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. Notice, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Now notice, as we look just for a moment at the preeminence of preaching, the purpose of preaching is to bring people back to reality. It's to get people to the point where, brother, God can get a hold of their attention for just a little while and shake folks out of their fairy tale world so that the truth of God can get through them. And that's why half the time, we live in a day and a time when we've gotten so accustomed to everything so smooth and so sweet and so soft. I mean, listen, most folks today in America, brother, if it comes down the pike halfway straight, if it ain't smooth and sweet and soft and about half effeminate, they figure it can't be the truth. But I'll tell you something, friend, there's a lot of truth in this book, and there's a whole lot of it ain't so soft and ain't so sweet, but it's still just as much the truth as anything else. Hell's the most terrible doctrine I ever read about in my life, and I don't particularly care much for that truth, but it's the truth. It's the truth. You reject the truth of the Word of God, you'll die in your sin and you'll go to that place that Brother Lackey was talking about. Well, then notice the preeminence of preaching. It's at Ezra's pulpit. It was in a prominent position. It said he opened the book beside all the people. It says, for he was above all the people. Now, preaching, we've come in some, I guess, in our day and time, thank God, not amongst most of us, you know, redneck Bible thumpers, but a lot of fundamentalists have begun to take away the preeminence of preaching. And we've gotten away from the fact of being ambassadors for Christ, and we got a whole lot of preachers went into the diplomatic corps, if you please. And preachers, God's men, are not supposed to be diplomats. They're supposed to be ambassadors. You know the difference between the two. Diplomat. Meet a lady on the street and he looks and he says, dear lady, every time I look into your eyes, time stands still. The diplomat says, hey, lady, you've got a face so ugly it'd stop a clock. That's the basic difference between a diplomat and an ambassador. And the man of God that stands and preaches must, if he fulfills his God-given duty, preach and give preeminence to preaching. Above all other things, beloved, give the preeminence to preaching. Folks, you know, they're talking about counselors, and I know you need counseling. I go in once in a while, a little fine-tuning counsel myself. But I tell you what, when I was pastoring up in Alaska, I didn't counsel folks. They didn't come to church. I mean, somebody won't come to church. Your first problem is, brother, you need to get your black heart right with God and get to church. And a man or a woman that will come to church and come to church faithful, and come to church on Sunday morning, and stay for Sunday school, stay for morning preaching service, come back Sunday night, and then come back Wednesday night. My friend, you ain't going to need too much counsel. God will counsel you from this blessed book. The preeminence of preaching. A young fellow in time, I was preaching at a Bible college, and he was a missionary applicant. He asked me, he said, Brother White, he said, you being, you know, international field representative there for that mission deal, he said, I want to ask you a question. He said, I'm just starting out here in school. And he said, I want to know. He said, basically, he said, I'm going into missions. I believe that God has called me to be a missionary. I said, amen, brother. We need him. He said, I want to ask your opinion. He said, what should I major on in my 3 or 4, whatever years it was he had at school? He said, to make me a better missionary and to do the job like I need to do. He said, preacher, what should I major on? Without any hesitation at all, I said, now, brother, I said, I'll tell you what you ought to major on. Without a shadow of a doubt, I said, above all else, I said, can everything you can get and can it all and use it all. But I said, above all else, I said, my brother, above all else, major on preaching. I said, learn how to preach. I said, listen, go out in the woods and preach to the owls. Go out on the street corner and preach to the folk walking on the street. Go down in your basement and preach to a wall. I said, get out somewhere, just preach. Preach at every opportunity. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove and rebuke. And I said, brother, above all else, you need to preach. I said, if you learn anything, I said, learn how to preach. Because you know how you get into Christ on the mission field? Same way you do back home. By preaching. Preaching. The preeminence of preaching, it ought to have the first place. And there's a lot of other things that's good. Man, I love good singing. Glory to God. I do. I love good singing. Nobody in this building loves singing any more than me. I would to God I could do some of it. I love good gospel singing. I love folks that are clean and live right. And I like that kind of folk. They get up and sing about the glory of God. I love it. I've got tapes full of it in my home. I like good singing. But I tell you, there ain't nothing in the world like good, old-fashioned preaching. Nothing in the world. If you like anything better than you like preaching, pal, you've got a problem. And I'm not saying that because I was a preacher. Listen, I love preaching before God ever called me to preach. We'd have a preacher's inn. And I mean, I'd travel 100 miles to go hear a good preacher. And we'd have preachers in and always enjoy the preacher. Say, man, I said, let them come over our house. We'd have them say, I'll take them to the airport. I'll go get them. And I'd like to get them in the car. And preachers, I never met a preacher that wasn't good at talking. They're all good at talking. Preachers know how to run their mouth. We probably run it too much most of the time. But I'd get them in my car, and I'd like to just kind of, it don't take much to juice a preacher up, you know, and just get them going. I was down in Mississippi, and old Uncle Mel Rutter, Dr. Rutter, and he just got back from Europe, and he'd heard about this flag-burning business, you know. And I knew old Brother Rutter. He's one of these World War II veteran fellows, you know, 70-something years old. And I knew. I said, well, I'll get him going good. So we were sitting there, and I said, Uncle Mel, I said, what do you think of this flag burning? Man, his face went beet red. He said, what do I think about it? He said, I believe we ought to issue baseball bats to every red-blooded American in America. And then we ought to double-dog dare one of them fools to get out and burn the flag. And then when he does, I'll take them baseball bats and start at his kneecaps. I said, wow. Man. That's called freedom of expression, Baptist style. Matter of fact, I'm glad they done it. I'll tell you what. Because I got me a new sermon because of that. I got me a sermon, God gave me a sermon on if I were the president of the United States. And I got it because of that flag burning thing. I can find some dummy and roll him in that flag and watch it burn. See, I like that. Yeah, it ain't got nothing to do with what I'm talking about. But, boy, I'm telling you, preacher, I'm enjoying myself, but I have to watch. I don't know where my watch is. But I'm fixing clothes. Look at this. I want to talk about the pleasure of preaching. Now, it's enjoyable to hear preaching. Now, the pleasure of preaching the Word of God. Listen, there's no way you can put it into words. No way. I don't care what experience you want to talk about. The only thing that I guess would even come close to it is the experience of getting born again. I ain't never seen anything that top that. And listen, if I didn't know enough about the Bible to know you were eternally safe and secure, and I do know that, because that's what the Bible teaches. But if I didn't know, I know you couldn't get it again because you couldn't stand it again. But if you got what I got the first time, you wouldn't live through that more than one time, pal. I mean, I thought I was going to die. I got under conviction so bad, I thought I could feel the fires of hell lapping at my ankles. I got under conviction so bad, 3 days I was under conviction. 3 days I thought I was going to hell. 3 days God dealt with my soul. 3 days. It wasn't because God couldn't save me the first day. It's because I guess I just needed a good dose, and the lady that was leading me to the Lord was new at it, and she didn't get around to the good part till the third day. I found out later on it don't take 3 days to get to the good part, amen. But I thought I had dysentery and hoof and mouth disease and yellow jaundice and diphtheria and polio and everything all wrapped up into one before it was all over with. I thought I was going to die. I lay there and listened to my heart beating a hole in my T-shirt. I thought if it quits, I'm going to hell. And I tell you what, brother, when I got born again that night, I didn't know nothing. I didn't know John 3:16 was even in the Bible. But when I got saved, listen, I knew before that I was going to hell. 14 Jehovah's Witness elders couldn't have talked me out of it. I couldn't show you in the Bible, but I knew I was going to hell. And oh, glory to God. When I got saved, I knew I was going to heaven. I couldn't explain that one either. I couldn't show you the verses. I went out and tried to win somebody to Christ, and I didn't know what to do. And I said, I'll tell you what, if I could find that lady, bless God, she'd show you how to do it. She showed me how to do it, but I said, it's in there somewhere. And you know what? And then all I did, I just told them what God done for me. I found out one old preacher told me, soul winning is just one beggar telling another beggar where he got the bread from. And the reason a lot of folk don't win souls, it's not because they don't know enough about the Bible. They don't know enough about the Savior. That's their problem. He ain't never done much for them. He ain't got nothing to tell anybody else. But brother, if God saved your soul, God put something inside of you. And praise God, you got something to tell other folk about. But the pleasure of preaching. Oh, there's no way to explain the exhilaration of preaching and seeing results. I was in a meeting here a while back, and a fellow was preaching. And he said, well, he said, I don't worry about results, and I don't really preach for results. Well, I'm sorry, but I do. And I shouldn't, but I worry about it, too. I mean, if I go, you know, 2-3 weeks, nobody gets saved, nobody comes to the altar, nobody gets right with God, I get worried about it. It disturbs me. I mean, you imagine if you was a farmer, and you go out there, and you work, and you sweat, and you put all that seed down the ground, don't tell me you're not doing that for some results. Don't tell me you ain't got some plans to get that tractor out there and come by later on and harvest a whole bunch of stuff. Man, when I preach for results. I like to see folk get saved. I like to see folk, good. And real, I've come to the point, I ain't been preaching long. I'm still real wet and greasy behind the ears myself. But I've preached long enough now, I thank God for any results, good or bad. I mean, used to, and I didn't like the bad results, but I even like that now. Just get some results, amen. The worst thing ever happened to me, sorry, I got spit on one time. I had a lady throw a shoe at me. She did. And I kept her shoe, too. She went home that night, clomp, clomp. I took her with me. I took her to the motel. I left it to the motel. I didn't take it back. But I, if it ain't nothing but just getting a shoe thrown at you, listen, I'm preaching some outfits, they're sit dead and died up. Man, if a preacher eye on down a bunch of wimps, why, if you have to cut them, they have to do push-ups 25 times to get any blood squirting out anywhere. And I said, nothing. You preach to them, they don't get mad, they don't get glad, they don't get sad, they don't get nothing. Man, that crowd worries me, man. Preacher Lackey, my pants is about to fall down, brother. Keep an eye. If you holler, reach up there, jerk them up for me. I've been on this diet thing. It's been working. But that's the only thing that hasn't happened to me in preaching. My britches have never fell down yet. I was close. I was over in Europe somewhere preaching, and I jumped out to make a big point. And to make the point, I had to suck in a lot of air. When I sucked in the air, the old britches started going, but I caught them quick. Right with my elbows. Old James Cagney trick. I saw that in the movies a long time ago. It's a long time ago, preacher. A long time ago. But I'll tell you, brother, ain't nothing listen when the preacher, I'm talking about now when he's prayed up and paid up and plowing straight and plugged in. Brother, I'm telling you something. The man of God gets up and God's on him and God's in him. Listen, he's like a maestro conducting an orchestra. He's like a king sitting on a throne. I mean, there's nothing to explain it, nothing you can compare it to. It's the grandest thing in all the world. And thank God for the pleasure of preaching. Glory to God. Listen, there's a lot of hard things about it. Oh, man, I ain't got time to tell you about all that. But glory to God, there's some good stuff about it, too. And the pleasure. Boy, I'm trying to quit, man. I'm trying to quit now. Yes. Thank you. Come back, ladies. Let's go. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you, brother. All right. Now, let's see. Where was we? We're talking about the pleasure of preaching. And, us preachers, and sometimes, us preachers, everybody needs preaching. I mean, that's everybody. That's right on down the line, and us preachers, we need it worse than anybody else. And I guess the second best thing to preaching for a preacher is to sit out there and while somebody else is preaching. And brother, when it plugged in, and when God got a hold of me, you know God's there. I mean, it's a pleasure to sit there with the man of God. I mean, I breathe with him. I do. My heart beats with him. Except, now, some of them guys are way down in Alabama, and I can't breathe with them. I ain't got that one here. I can't do that one. I've tried it. I'm not being critical, you understand? I just can't do it. I don't know. I wish I could do it, but I can't do that. But usually, I breathe with the fella. I mean, I feel it for the fella. And when you preach, and listen, and a preacher preaches, and he preaches, and for results, amen. I was in a big preacher's fellowship meeting one time. I think I told that story here. I'm going to tell another. I told, I'm going to tell anyway because I want to hear it. I was in this big preacher's fellowship meeting. And I was on the platform. I mean, I was like with all the other muckety-mucks. There was Dr. Hugh Pyle up there. And this other Dr. Doodle Digger there. And this other doctor here. And there sits old Brother Jim, right in the middle. I mean, I ain't even a paramedic, man, but there I am with the good doctors. I'm wondering how in the world did I get up here? But I'm here. I said, oh, God, I've arrived. It's all right. All the preachers. And I fantasized that they all come to hear me preach. And I got up and I did my thing, you know, and I'll be honest with you, I sinned. Because I preached what God gave me, I didn't cut no corners, but I was hoping. I said, now, well, all these preachers out here, I bet you I could get me, if I work this thing right now, I could probably get me about 5 meetings out of this crowd. Man, I got 5 mission conferences here. Maybe I might even get to be one of the muckety-mucks at a Bible conference like this again, you know, but if I don't blow this thing. But I blew it. My shirt tail came out and everything else came out. I blew it. But I was sitting up there, and so come my turn, so I preached. Well, I got done with my deal. Then they ended up with this black preacher. Now, there's something about black preachers. I'm talking about born again, brother, born again, blood washed, them that love the Lord, and them that know this book. But I'm telling you what's the truth. They get stuff out of this book, man. I don't know how they get it, but they get it. Man, I love to hear them tell it, too. This black brother got up, and he started preaching. It was good. It was good. Man, he got it up in the high hum. Yeah. You know them black brothers, now when they get in the high hum, you know. You know. They have quit fooling around and went to preaching sure enough. Brother, he was going. There I was on the front pew. I was right with him. Then I was agging him off. And he preached. But then he got to preaching, and then he started saying some stuff. And man, he started, and all of a sudden the Lord reached in there and grabbed my heart and said, pfft. I said, whoa. I said, how about that? I said, whoa. Ease up, Lord. I hear the man right good. The Lord began to squeeze that heart, and I said, whoa. I said, I wish he'd change the subject. But he didn't, and he kept on preaching. And I kept on sitting there. I said, oh. And then I thought, I said, well, praise God, at least this is a preacher's fellowship. We won't have to go through one of them invitation things, you know. Oh, at least us preachers got sense enough, bless God, not to do that, you know. I had no sooner thought that, and he said, well, folks, I'm offensive. But he said, you know, he said, I believe that we need to have an invitation. I said, oh, no. He said, when you pastor's wives get up here on this piano, we've got to have us an invitation. He said, now, brethren, there ain't nobody here but us. I said, yeah. He said, we're going to have an invitation. And he started the invitation. Ain't nobody moved. Nobody moved. You could hear a pin drop in there. About 75 or 80 preachers. I was one of them. And God said, what's the matter? Go on. And you always up there. Pound and say, come on, you know, come on. Let's go. I said, no, wait a minute, God. Wait a minute. I mean, this is a preacher's fellowship here. Now, Lord, if I hadn't have been sitting up on the platform earlier, you know I'd have been the first one. I'd already been down there. But I said, now, Lord, you know, I was hoping to get some conferences out of this. And I said, this dear brother, man, this wasn't one of them shotgun messages. It wasn't, boom, boom, boom. This was like a deer rifle. I said, Lord God, it ain't been general enough. Good night. If I go down there, everybody in this whole crowd's going to know why I'm going. They're going to know. There ain't no way to fudge it and cover it up, man. He's been too specific. And I said, you see, ain't none of these other devils in here moving. And don't tell me I'm the only one, Lord. I was fighting that thing, Lord. I was fighting that thing. And they kept singing. And, you know, you could tell. You can hear when the wine are down, you know. And this, I said, oh, my praise God, it's almost over. And I said, well, now, Lord, you know. Now, you know me, Lord. You know. One more verse and I'd have went. You know that, Lord. It's in my heart to go. I ain't no sooner thought that. And that dear old black brother, he said, I feel strangely led of God to do one more verse. And I said, oh. I said, Lord, listen, there's a stand of pine trees about a half a mile from this church. And I promise you, God, if you just let me get out of this place. I said, I promise you I'll drive my car down there. I'm going to get in them trees. I'll get on my pace. And I ain't coming out till I get this thing all worked out. I said, I promise you, Lord. I said, I ain't dealing the cards under the pine trees. I'm dealing them right up there. And that preacher said, now, folks, he said, I do believe somebody needs to come. And I said, oh, I do too. So I said, well, I took one little baby step, you know, and kind of got out of the aisle. I said, how about this, Lord? I said, let's work a deal here. I said, all right, I'll kneel down. You know, by the pew here, you know, I'm halfway back there. I said, how about this, Lord? Now, we can do business. I mean, you have offices open everywhere, you know. We do business here. I said, no, man, the cards are being shuffled down there. So I, all right, so I come, you know, went down there. And it was a whole lot easier once you started, you know. I mean, you get 200, well, at that time it was 275 pounds. But when you get 242 pounds, rolling in the right direction, it motivates pretty easy. And I got on down there, and I plopped down there. And then I'll never forget that old black brother. He said, my God, brother. He said, what you coming for? I said, what am I coming for? I said, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I said, you know what I'm coming for. They know what I'm coming for. God knows what I'm coming for. I'm guilty as hell. That's what I'm coming for. But all I want you to know, that when the word of God's preached and when it's obeyed, the pleasure of heaven will roll in your soul, friend. I went on down the road, and when I passed the pine trees, I said, hallelujah, pine trees. See you next trip around, amen. The pleasure of preaching and the pleasure of obeying what is preached. Thank God, listen, you'll never go wrong obeying what God tells you to do from this blessed book. And I trust that you'll do it. Let's bow our heads, and preacher, you come.
Hallelujah. God, thank you for this night. God, thank you for this preaching. Lord, I pray somebody that didn't come earlier, God, that you smote their heart, touched their heart. I pray, God, they'd just slip on down this altar right now. I pray, God, nobody get cheated out of going to heaven tonight. I pray nobody believe the lies of the devil and miss going to heaven tonight. I pray no Christian would believe the lies of the flesh and the lies of the devil and get out of here without getting right with Thee, Father, and walking right with Thee, and not